Good morning. If you've probably noticed, I am not Reverend Derek. I'm a little bit taller than he is, but not that much. So I am Pat Dayton. For many of you that have seen me but don't know what I do here, I am the youth director. Started in June, and so I've been participating in the BYG services, so that's why you haven't seen me as much during the regular services. But since Reverend Dion had just returned and Reverend Derek is gone this weekend, I was asked to preach. So here I am, and they were not here during any of the preparation, so they couldn't stop me from saying anything. So I guess, well, let's just go into it. So we started today in the text of Jeremiah. So we see that God is advising through the prophets to the people in exile to build up their city, to care for themselves and promote the welfare of the city that I've sent you to. But we should probably start at the beginning for a little more context, too. At like the beginning. So when God created the land and created the earth, he allowed humans to have dominion over it, to work the land and to receive the benefits of the land. But if we're being honest, throughout human history, we have not been doing that well. In a lot of ways, we're actually probably doing a lot of negative things to the earth and a lot of negative things to one another. Now, why have I come to this conclusion? And it's often because I watch the news. I see what's happening in the world. We all see what's happening in the world. But what else should we be striving for? What we should be striving for is what is said in the Jeremiah text, to promote the welfare of the whole city, for all peoples that are in the cities. When we seek to build a city, we ought to be seeking for the justice and the welfare of all. All means all. Our understanding should be radically hospitable. There should not be any of us left out. God has commanded the people of exile to live for all that are in that area, all in that city. Not just for their own, but when they care for others, they're also caring for themselves. Caring for the whole city means themselves included. But as I said, in the world, we have failed. Can you go to the next one? What we have pictures here is where in our world, in our city, in our country, we have failed. The top photo is a picture from Ethiopia. It's a rally of the Oromo people that are suffering. The Ethiopian government has been neglecting the Oromo people and the resources that Ethiopia has, and people are starving. And they have rallied to speak up for their own existence and for their own humanity. And when they did so, they were slaughtered. By hundreds of people, they were slaughtered. But it's not just in Ethiopia, it's in our own country. We have to have rallies and marches across the earth, across our country, to make a stand that black lives should matter. And we are still fighting the systematic racism of 400 years of slavery in this country. And even in our own city, the wonderful, progressive, beautiful Seattle, we're still failing when we have thousands of people living outside of homes. We have over 800 people that are 25 years or younger living outside of homes and living outside. And these people are being criminalized for their existence, for their inability to have a home. We're not living up to the standard that God has asked us to live to. But the problem, the bigger problem, is we have become okay with it. When I look for answers, I hear excuses and reasons as to why we've been limited, why we can't help everyone, why people need to be living outside. But why have we accepted this? Why do we live with this? Do we believe that God has limits? A God that loves us all and cares for us all, have we limited God? Have we limited what God can do through us? Have we become complacent and accepting of what is happening, and therefore becoming complicit in what is happening? The limit we place on ourselves stops us from worshiping with one another and stops us from building up a city that has the welfare and benefit for all. It seems that we've been stuck in this idea that this is the way that it has to be. But it doesn't have to be like this. We don't have to have thousands of homeless across our city, and even more across our country. We shouldn't have to be rallying for black lives to say that they matter, or there shouldn't be, the Oromo people should not be slaughtered for standing up for their own humanity. But we've become content with putting band-aids on broken arms, content with excuses and justifications instead of changes. Thinking with this kind of limit has only stopped us from action and stopped us from empathy and stopped us from deeply loving one another. We stop desiring justice and change. We become complicit in the patterns of the world. But what do? We first, and always first, we align ourselves with Jesus. As Christians, this should always be our mantra. We should always be doing this. And when we do that, we understand that Jesus lived beyond the limits of this world. The time of Jesus was no different than ours. I mean, there's some differences. I understand that history, there's differences. But when we see the way the people lived, it is no different than the way we are living now. They lived with the limits they placed on one another. They were ethnically divided by Samaritans and Jews and Babylonians, and that's just in one area of the world. They were divided by those with leprosy and those without. They were divided by physical and non-physical disabilities. But Jesus lived beyond those limits. Jesus did not ignore those that had leprosy. He healed them, as we see in our text today. Jesus didn't heal 5 of the 10 and was content with that, but 10 of the 10. Jesus didn't have a test to see who was the hardest working person and only healed that person. He healed all of them. Jesus didn't just hang with the elites of the world as he probably deserved, but lived with those that were at the bottom of the pole. Jesus didn't just heal his own people, the Jews, but he healed a Samaritan. He healed all that he was encountered with. He did not limit the healing touch of God, and this, friends, is what we should be striving for. We ought to desire as Christians to bring the healing touch of God to all and to everyone. Jesus brought these revolutionary ideas and pushed beyond the limits of the world. He did not settle for the status quo. He took the statuses of the people and flipped it. The weak will become strong. The last will be first. The poor will inherit the earth. The ideas, the teachings, the practices are far different than what we see in this world, and were far different from the world that he was living in. Jesus was revolutionary because he lived beyond the limits of the world. And friends, that same spirit is in each of you. When we love and follow Jesus, that same spirit is in you. When Jesus left the earth, he left this spirit here for us to empower us, to allow us to be revolutionary and countercultural to the world that we are living in, for us to be beyond limits. But that's not what's happening. We're not acting upon the Spirit in all that we do. We're not allowing the healing touch of what a home can provide for those who deeply, deeply need it, or a warm meal. We don't seek the justice for the lives that are lost. We're still living in a world where we think this is okay. But the good news is this. This is not what the kingdom of God looks like. The new heaven and the new earth are not going to look like what today looks like. We get an image of this new heaven in Revelation 21. It's a picture of God dwelling amongst us and with us. There's no more death or crying or pain or hurt. And Jesus' teaching was just this. Jesus was teaching us to be guiding and pushing towards this idea and this way of living. Our jobs as Christians is to bring this kingdom of God to earth in moments and in lifestyles. And that's exactly what Jesus did in his actions and his words and his dying love for us. So why are we settling for where we are and striving and not striving for more and striving for the welfare of all? This should always be one of our goals when we say we love Jesus and want to be his follower. And this begins where you are. This begins with where I am. You have probably noticed in your bulletin, hopefully you didn't lose it in the way, there's a little card that was in each of the bulletins. These all say something different on them. Well, not all of them. There's four different things. They say your family table, your workplace or your school, or your hobbies, or your community. These are my challenge areas for you. After you align yourself with the limitless of Christ, go to these areas. Bring the limitless of Christ to your family table. And by that I mean being creative, being different than what you've normally been doing. Think outside of the normal schedule that you have lived in and been doing. Maybe you create a community dinner and you invite your neighbors, something you've never done before. Maybe your family serves meals to the homeless once a week. Or your family researches and discusses ways you can advocate for the homeless at your family table. Maybe it's talking about politics, which I'm not sure about your families, but my family never did that growing up, and it's super uncomfortable. But I do it anyway now, because I know the importance of doing that at the family table, of having those communications with my family, with my sister, my brother-in-law. It's very uncomfortable with my brother-in-law's family. But I do it anyway, because it's important and we need to talk about it. Or maybe in your workplace, you can find a way that your job can be an innovator for social justice. Or how can your school advocate for the black lives that are living in your midst? Can your local support groups, can your small groups be advocates for justice or for the city's homeless population? What if we become creative with our buildings and our spaces that we occupy? There's a church down south. I tried to find the name of it. I heard the pastor speaking about a month ago. But what she does is she opens up her church, and there's actually three or four families that are living there for months at a time. They bought cots for the people to come in and sleep in the rows while folks aren't there. Maybe we can do something like that within with our schools and our businesses to become creative in changing the world. Or what about your hobbies? How can your hobbies shape the kingdom of God to be something that we're proud of? Can you teach your hobby to someone? Can your hobby benefit someone else the way that it has benefited you? Or within your community, your friends in this church, what can you all do and what can we all do that is different? How can we become creative and use the spirit that's been empowered in us to be different and to stand out for those that need us the most? Do you use your statuses in your community to advocate for others? Can we do that? I believe we can. So with your card, during the next song that's played when the choir sings, take a moment to think. And I want you to literally write something down on your card that applies to your area. After you take a moment and you write something down, remember it. Pray for it. And then when the offering basket is passed, please place it into the basket. We love and appreciate your monetary offerings each week. But I ask that you would allow this to also be an offering of your faith. Allow this to be a part of the offering and what you are offering to do for God. So, I pray that we begin to believe that we are beyond limits. Be creative in what you write down. Don't leave something that is just comfortable and barely changes your life. Be beyond limits, and remember the message that Reverend Derek preached last weekend. We all have something that we bring. We are all a part of the body of Christ. We all play a role in bringing the kingdom of God to this earth for all its people. So, as you're preparing, let's create a city with welfare for all of its inhabitants. Think beyond what we have here. Think what you would like to see happening, and believe that the Christ that is in you will empower you to do so. Thank you.